You know, we hear that phrase, going to hell in a handbasket. Have you ever wondered who's carrying the basket? Who's carrying it? I don't want to be carrying that basket. What about you? And we're getting ready for revival, and I hope that you're getting ready for revival, and we need it. I need it, and you need it, and the church needs it. And the community needs it. Man, I don't know anybody who doesn't need revival. And if you don't need revival, it just shows how far gone you really are. We need revival. Well, I got to thinking, and that's sometimes a good thing, sometimes it's a prickly thing, but I get to thinking. And how can we expect the lost to come to church if in mass, if the church itself is dry and lifeless? These are the facts, friends. God's word and prayer are no longer desired in our schools or our government. Christian values such as family, prayer, believing the word of God is a rarity now. God's people no longer bothered by the sin in their lives. Something tragic has taken place in this nation and in the church in the last 62 years, over the last 62 years. What started as a trickle is now become an avalanche running full bore like a flood in the nation and the church has fallen into attitudes of such selfishness, such unforgiveness, such disobedience, such carnality, and such lukewarmness toward God, the church that Jesus died to establish, and God's church, which once turned the world upside down, is now being turned upside down by the world. And in times such as these, we need revival. We need a great awakening. And oh, we better wake up. It's so sad to say many Christians no longer seeking to be revived. Churches are made up of people. Don't drive in this parking lot and expect to see these bricks get revived. It's you. It's me. We need to be revived. And the question has to be asked. Listen, I've been a pastor for 27 years. I've pastored 5 churches in my time. During that time, we've had churches who've held revival services. But that's all they were. Because nobody was getting prepared. Nobody was seeking to be revived. And I shared that with you last week. I asked one of the churches where I pastored just before I came here, are we having revival or are we just having extra services? And be honest. And they all said, Pastor, we're just having extra services. Oh, how sad. And how sad it will be for us. Because God is sending us a man to come and speak revival to our hearts. And how sad it will be for us if we're not prepared to be revived when that speaker comes. So are you seeking to be revived? Are you preparing your heart? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And if you're not seeing God at work in your life, do you want to know what the reason is? It's because your heart isn't as pure as you think it is. Let me share with you why most folks are not interested in seeking revival. It's because they possess an attitude of ingratitude. Simply put, they are not thankful to God for the blessings He has given them in life, and thus many people have given themselves over to despondency and despair and to worry. How many of you, if you're honest tonight, would say, I stay up some nights worrying, I just toss and I turn. Just get your hand up, you're in church, it'll be all right, be courageous. Do you know what? God works 24/7, so you don't have to. Do you know what that demonstrates? Well, I'm just going to say it. It demonstrates a lack of faith. Your faith needs to grow. It needs to be revived. You once had it. Now you've lost it, and you need to get revived. It happens to preachers, too. Sometimes preachers get plumb wore down, and it happened to the great 16th century theologian Martin Luther. Once experienced a long period of despondency and worry. And one day, he came into his kitchen, and there was his blessed wife dressed in black mourning clothes. And Luther looked at his wife, and she said, "Who's dead?" And his wife looked him back and said, "God is." "God, what do you mean?" And Luther realized right then and there, how can you say such a thing? God is not dead. But then he realized, because of a godly wife, that he was living as if God was dead. And as if God were no longer alive. God was no longer watching over him. God could no longer care for him. Luther had lost it. And he changed his mind right then and there. From gloom to gratitude. And he got on his knees and he prayed. Oh, thank God for a wonderful life. You'll be finding in your Bibles tonight the 92nd Psalm. Again, because of length, we're going to do this in just a few verses. I'll ask that you would read this on your own. But we're going to begin in verse 1. And it says, right away, and you can stand as we honor God with His Word tonight. Now I want you to read this with me. It is a good thing. Go ahead, you can talk. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Now I'll read and you can listen. And to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the work of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works. And thy thoughts are very deep. Verse 9. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies. And my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. Now watch this. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Now if you're a little overweight, it's all right. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there is no unrighteousness in Him. Hallelujah. Father, tonight as we come, oh Lord, it is so easy to fall into ingratitude. To be unthankful is to be unholy. Lord, it is Your will for us to be a thankful people. For all that we have is Yours. Tonight, the air we breathed, the cars we drove, the feet we walked in on, the hands we've opened the Bible with, Lord, all of these things, the eyes to see it. Oh, Lord, You've given it all. Let us be thankful And take away from us, O God, an attitude of ingratitude. Let us be known for our thankfulness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to share with you tonight that ingratitude is a killer. It quells any desire for revival in our heart. Many of you may have heard the name Dr. W.A. Criswell. Have you heard that name? He's one of the Southern Baptist icons that used to pastor down at First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. But his first church was in Chickasaw, Oklahoma. And one day he went out calling. And as he was out calling on people, back in the day when you could go out calling on people, because people weren't afraid then, he came across a home where a woman told him flatly she did not like Oklahoma. She did not believe in God. Criswell said, "Well, I do believe in God." The woman said, "Well, I don't." And she cursed him. Criswell wasn't going to be deterred. He pressed the matter with her. And finally, her life story began to come out. And she said that she and her husband had moved to Oklahoma. And once there, they'd had children. But along the way, her husband died. And then her children died. And some of them had scattered from her, leaving her all alone. She was bitter. She was mad, angry at everyone. She told Criswell, "Well, I write poetry. Would you like to hear some?" Trying to gain a foothold with her, he obliged. And she recited the following: "I hate Oklahoma. Not the land of my native birth, but a land by all the gods that be the scourge on the face of the earth. I hate Oklahoma, where the centipedes crawl in your bed at night and the rattlesnake lifts its fangs to bite, where the lizard and the scorpion play on the sly and the lonesome vultures sail in the sky, where water and food are an eternal lack, and a man's best friend sticks a dagger in your back. I hate Oklahoma." And Dr. Criswell said all of her poetry was like that. And he said, "I left there because I was in the presence of nothing more than an unthankful, bitter, bitter woman who looked only on the difficult things in life. And she dwelled on them." A few weeks after his visit, Criswell got a phone call from the funeral home telling him that this woman had died. And the funeral home wondered if Criswell would be willing to come and say a few words, and he complied, and he wrote this. It's in a book. "There were only two women present, she and her plain pine box and me. Dr. Criswell said, I learned right then and there, ingratitude has no friends." The psalmist begins our text tonight, "It is good to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." The psalmist understood it as an attitude of gratitude that leads us to be thankful and to sing praises unto God. Way back in 1969, I was just a little 13-year-old boy back then. I was in school. My mama worked at the school. Somebody came to get me out of class. And my mama and I rushed home. You see, the house that we had bought, the farmhouse that my daddy was working on, was on fire. And we lost everything. And Daddy looked at each one of us, Mama, my sister, and I, and said, we will give thanks. We can still be thankful. We have each other. Are we going to be thankful that God is in control? Hallelujah. And if there's anything I could tell you tonight, God is in control. And hallelujah for it. And we prayed right there, Daddy leading us. Oh, what a wonderful godly example I've been given in this life to be my earthly daddy. But he prayed right then and there, though we lost everything, for the blessings for our situation. Now God in his word tonight speaks very strongly to the Christian about our need for a grateful heart. And in fact, if you read God's Word and study God's Word, you will discover that God very carefully links the spirit of gratitude with victory in the Christian life. You know, some of us go around defeated all the time because we never give thanks for what God has done, so God will not allow us to experience victory. But I don't know if you've ever thought or connected these two thoughts, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, you can write that down, verse 14, we read, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. And gratitude and triumph are in the same verse. There is something about having an attitude of gratitude that goes along with victory, with triumph. And that same concept is spoken about in 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory and triumph are always coupled together throughout the Holy Scriptures with gratitude, thankfulness. See, gratitude then is one of the evidences that God is in us. Now think about that. Listen, you can go out in the street, you can hear anybody complain, can't you? People grumble and they complain all the time. And sadly, they do it even at church. Sometimes they do it in the choir room. Oh, we can't sing that song. We don't know this stuff. Sometimes they do it in the church. Oh, well, pastor, I don't like that music. Why did he pick that? Oh, well, he didn't have it today, did he? And we grumble and we complain. Now, you can hear that anywhere. But God is simply sharing with us that gratitude is one of the evidences that the Holy Spirit of God is alive in us and he wants to work through us. And we all know there are so many reasons to complain, grumble, and gripe. How many of you know the reason why the first generation of Israelites did not get to enter the promised land? No sooner did God show them miracle after miracle, and the minute they had a little hardship, they, you just brought us out here to die. We want to go back to Egypt. Every little thing that came up, they began to bellyache about. You know, some folks are professional at it, aren't they? Life isn't fair. But understand this, my friend, life doesn't owe you or I a thing. Do you realize that? Life owes us nothing. Life is what we make of it. And you cannot make a life apart from God. And yet we have a world full of people who are trying to make a life apart from God. And sadly, some of them say they're Christian. as a Christian, you aren't going to enjoy your life if you are not in fellowship with God. It's just that simple. You are not going to enjoy your life if you are truly saved and not in fellowship with God. If you are not in fellowship with God, you are going to be out of fellowship in every other relationship in your life. There are all kinds of things we could complain about, true enough. But if the Spirit of God is in us, He will triumph over all of that. The Holy Spirit gives us victory even over the negative, self-pitying thoughts. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God's Word of Truth teaches that a spirit of gratitude should be found in each one of us. Why am I bringing this up? Because are you aware the Bible teaches that God won't revive the unthankful? Did you know that being unthankful, full of ingratitude, is a sin? Sometimes we wonder, why won't God bless us? Why won't God fill our church? Why won't God? Why won't God? Why won't God? Well, we ought to be saying, why do I have such a spirit of ingratitude? Why am I so unthankful for what God is doing? And whenever God begins to lead someone toward revival, you see, God is going to deal with that person's heart. God only cares about my heart and your heart. That's all He cares about. The heart of the person. And that person, in order to be revived, can no longer be satisfied with a status quo. Thus David prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." He said, "Try me. And know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." We need an examination. I need it. You need it. And we need to allow the Word of God to examine our heart. That woman I spoke about, that Chriswell spoke about, she was satisfied being unthankful and bitter. And sadly, that's the major problem with the church in this world today. Many Christians are living today as if God is dead. And they're unthankful. And they're full of bitterness. We're highly critical. Would you agree? Again, I go back to during the COVID time when all I had was Randy upstairs and a little camera back there to preach to. And there I was preaching. We got off because it was the end of it. Somebody called me. "Pastor, you were online. Could you see what people were saying?" I said, "No, I was preaching. Praise the Lord." "Well, this person was complaining about this person. They were complaining about this." We had musicians who came in during that time to sing and lead worship service so that we could provide worship for our people, and our people were complaining. Highly critical. It breaks my heart how critical the church has become. Too many think life owes them. And when they don't get what they want, they become resentful. They become bitter, unthankful, ungrateful. And if you know anybody like that, be honest. It's hard to be around them, isn't it? It's hard to be around somebody like that. Sometimes I'll go out and visit, and I listen to so much bitterness that I just kindly get in my car at the end. And I go home and I take a shower to get it off of me. To get it off of me. Friends, what's worse, if they're a Christian, they're living out of the will of God, They haven't lost their salvation, but they are absolutely miserable because they're out of fellowship with God. And I will say it again, when you are out of fellowship with God, you are out of fellowship in every other relationship in your life. And to be unthankful is to be found living in sin. It is to be found living outside the will of God. Listen to what the Bible says. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. The will of God for you and I as Christians is that we be thankful no matter what life throws at us. That's why my daddy's example stands out. I'm a little bit older now, and I think back to that time. Picture albums were gone. Clothes were gone. Little things that are we'd want or little knick-knack things that mean something, your treasure box stuff, if you will, gone. Everything gone. Now that I'm a little bit older, I think about it, and God has told me, but don't worry about that stuff. I was going to burn it all up anyway. Amen. He was going to burn it up all anyway. And hallelujah. What do I got to be worried about? You see, my daddy set an example that I've always remembered. In everything, give thanks. That's why on the night my mama passed, I've said this before, but I'll share it again. We just gave thanks to God for a wonderful mama, and we sang hymns and praises around her bed. Daddy gave thanks for a wonderful wife. In everything, give thanks. You see it in the words, in everything. There are going to be some things that aren't fun. There's going to be some tough times. But how can God make it any plainer? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's personal. And it affects you. It affects everyone who says they're a Christian. We are to be thankful because it is the will of God for you, for us. And if you're not a grateful person, and you know whether or not, very well in your heart right now, whether or not you are not walking in the Spirit of God. You are out of the will of God. No matter what you may be doing in this church, no matter how you may be serving in this church, how you might attend to the needs of others outside the church, if you're ungrateful, constantly complaining, constantly finding fault with this or that, going around with the attitude that says everything in life is against me, you're out of the will of God. You may be sitting here tonight saying, man, I'm glad he's retiring because I don't like hearing that. Well, you know what? I don't like saying it. But God gives the message, not me. And I don't blame you. I don't like it either. But understand, I didn't say it. God did. It applies to me. Now, y'all are lucky. And here's what I mean by that. You only hear the message once. I got to hear it twice. God gives it to me, and I have to deal with the things in my heart, and then I got to come and give it to you, and then you got to deal with it. You know where I discovered this? On the golf course, of all places. Now listen, you need to know something. There was a time when I used to play golf and I could be out there on that golf course. And man, I could whine with the best of them. I'd complain about how that unlucky bounce, why they have that little thing there in the course in the middle of it, how that green didn't let my puck go in, how that hole didn't do its job. It was right there. It should have fallen. And the more I'd complain, the worse my attitude got. And God convicted me of that. And there I was on a golf course one day. And God said, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Can you imagine being on a golf course? There you are, and you're in your usual hissy fit state about how things aren't going your way. And then you hear the voice of God. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Whew. Talk about getting driven to your knees. You talk about getting convicted. You talk about knowing you needed to bow down and repent. And I had to repent of that sin. Because God said, you are out of the will of God. Now, even today, I have to be careful because, listen, it's so easy to fall into negativity, isn't it? I mean, just think about life. Life is tough. And when you get to be my age, you got to be tough to get to be. You know what getting old means? It means you were tough. You were tough enough to get old. But I learned that golf and life are very much the same. They both owe you nothing. Both are what you make of them. And you see, sometimes the Bible is not only a sword, sometimes it's a hammer. And God hammered me. Hammered me. That's why I tell people today, do you want me to read to you from the Word of God, or do I need to bring the Whooping Bible with me? Sometimes if we're not careful, we'll just start singing a sad story about how bad things are. We'll start complaining about how underappreciated we are, and we'll begin to complain about everything. We'll complain about the work we do or the job we do, how it stinks, our kids aren't measuring up, the weather's rotten, the world, the government is going to hell in a handbasket. Just don't be the one carrying that basket. And on it goes until we've gotten ourselves worked up into a really foul mood. And when we do this, we sin. And sin takes us out of the will of God. But know this, God will not revive the unthankful. You say, why? Because God cannot bless sin. That's why. And being ungrateful is a deadly sin. It even affects the way you worship. The Bible teaches, Ephesians 5, 18 through 21, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And all the words in that passage that end with ing are called participles. Speaking, singing, giving thanks, and submitting, these are words that describe a man or a woman who is filled with the Spirit. And when we're filled with the Spirit, we'll be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And friends, that sounds like worship, amen? There I was on the golf course. And I was playing by myself. And I was just singing along like I like to do, because out there nobody tells you you sing rotten. So you just make a joyful noise to the Lord. And sometimes I pray, and when I pray, sometimes I pray in the King James. And I said, oh, Lord, bless thee. What a beautiful day. And somebody from the other, not too far away from the tee box, said, did I just hear you say thee? I said, yes. I've never heard somebody pray in the King James, he said. my Lord. But when you're filled with the Spirit, it just comes out. You're going to be filled to overflowing with praise for God. Our text begins, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." You know, our churches ought to be singing chartas. A Spirit-filled congregation will really sing when they sing. There won't be a mechanical mouthing of the words while we're checking out others to see if they're looking at us while we're looking at them. Instead, we'll sing from the heart our praises unto God. Now, I've had the opportunity in my life in ministry to go to a lot of different churches in a lot of different states. And sometimes when you're in a church, and I can remember a church in Indianapolis, Indiana, and they said, "Let's stand and sing." And all they did was stand up. The song leader sung, but nobody else sung. Have you ever been in a church like that? I wanted to turn around, but I was a guest speaker, and you know when you're a guest, you got to act like a guest. But I wanted to turn around and said, "Did anybody sing in this place?" But I couldn't do that because I was a guest, and you know, when you're a guest, you're supposed to be on your best behavior. Came to the invitation, and I said to the lady who was playing the piano, "I think I'm going to sing." She looked at me petrified. She said, "What are you going to sing?" I said, "I'm going to sing the Baptist National Anthem, Victory in Jesus." She said, "What key?" I said, "I don't know. You just play. I'll hit some note somewhere along the way." And we sang Victory in Jesus. I don't read music. That's my wife's job. But you see, an ungrateful heart, soul focuses on their self. It's preoccupied with their own thoughts. It cannot give unto the Lord the glory due His name because that heart isn't submitted to the Lord. Submissiveness to God is evidenced by gratitude. And when you're filled with the spirit of gratitude, or when you're filled with the spirit, you're going to be full of gratitude. Gratitude isn't dependent on whether your house burns down or not. It's not dependent on your circumstances. It's not dependent on whether you golf good or not. It's not dependent on whether you preach good or not. It's not dependent on how many people attend church or not. Gratitude is, "Thank you, God, that I had the opportunity to be in the house of God today. Thank you, God, that I did my part to be faithful. I don't know about those other people, God, but I want you to know I am so thankful I could get out of bed this morning and get to where you called me to be, to the church of Jesus Christ." Gratitude is simply filled, dependent on one thing, a heart that's filled with thankfulness. Now, Charlotte's done some children's sermons from time to time, and she did this one with a sponge, and you know what it is. You squeeze it, and the stuff comes out. Do you know how God shows us our heart? He puts a little pressure on us. And when He squeezes us, what comes out? That'll tell you whether you got a heart of thankfulness or not. And listen, an unthankful heart affects us not only in our worship, but it affects us personally. It affects our ability to worship. And then third, unthankfulness affects our culture. In Romans chapter 1, Paul described a culture sliding toward disintegration. And he sets the scene for us with these significant words. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools." Well, if that doesn't describe our leaders today in Washington, I don't know what does. If that doesn't describe the universities in America today, I don't know what does. And if it doesn't describe what's going on in too many churches that are not Christ churches, they are worldly churches because they embrace an unholy life, one that God calls an abomination, I don't know what does. The Holy Spirit, speaking through Paul, says, let me tell you what happens to a culture that rejects God. They're going to go head down, down, down. Where has America gone since we took prayer out of school? Since we got rid of the Sunday blue laws? Since we took the Ten Commandments down? Since we said we can kill a baby? Since we said, God, you don't know what it means? You don't know what marriage means. And you don't even know the sexes you created, God, because you created a whole lot more than just two. No, he didn't. You see, one of the evidence of our decadence and rebellion in America is, again, is because we don't have any gratitude for what God gave us in this country. What began the process is the lack of gratitude. Paul said this is what happens. And the lack of gratitude is the beginning, and there is no end when it comes to being unthankful. Again, the Holy Spirit through Paul, speaking through Paul, says, let me tell you what it will be like just before the return of Jesus Christ. This is how we know that the rapture is soon coming. This know also, 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Are we living in perilous times? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Ungrateful, unholy, God says. Ingratitude travels in some pretty bad company, doesn't it? But to be truthful, most folks just shrug it off as if it's no big deal. Oh, that's just my temperament. That's what they claim. That's just the way I am. Oh, you're full of the devil. That's your problem. And you need to get your temperament fixed, and you need to come to Jesus, and he'll fix that temperament. That's not the way you are. But if it is the way you are, and you want to live on that's the way you are, then you're lost, and you need salvation. We excuse ourselves so often, don't we? We say, well, it's my environment. It's what I experienced growing up. It's not my fault. It's my mama's fault. It's my daddy's fault. It's always somebody else's fault, isn't it? You don't know my circumstances. You just don't understand. And that is true. I don't know your circumstances, and I don't understand what you've been through. But God does. But God does. God sees it all. And his word cuts right through all that. And God gives us an example of someone who stayed grateful to the end, and the Apostle Paul, see, the man who is writing this was the kind of man who lived what he preached. He's not on some cruise ship drinking a latte. He is in a prison cell, in chains. And he's saying, be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. It's so easy to allow our culture to affect us. But if we live according to our culture, we've sinned. And we've grieved the Holy Spirit of God. We aren't walking in the Spirit. We're not controlled by the Spirit if we're living according to our culture. Because we've given our hearts to the culture and not to the Lord our God. We worship when we feel like it. We come to choir practice when it suits our fancy. We'll give God some time if we've got nothing better to do. Paul was a man who knew a tribulation and distress. He knew what it was to be hungry. He knew what it was to be persecuted. He knew what it was to be beaten, shipwrecked. And yet, in spite of his constant struggles, he was filled with gratitude. It is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you to be thankful. Henry Nguyen once wrote, "Where there is a reason for gratitude, there can always be found a reason for bitterness." Helen Keller made this observation as she was growing up. She said, "I've often thought it would be a blessing if each human being were stricken blind and deaf for a few days, sometime early in adult life. Darkness would make them more appreciative of sight, and silence would teach them the joy of sound." I do know this. God sometimes has to hammer us before we wake up to what we have and how grateful we ought to be. In Africa, I'm told, there is a little berry called a taste berry. It is called by that name because it changes your taste so that everything that goes into your mouth is pleasant and sweet. Someone has said that gratitude is the Christian's taste berry. If you take the attitude of gratitude and you devour it and just roll it around in your mouth like you would a piece of your favorite hard candy, it turns even the most difficult, sour things into the sweet things of life. And do you have the attitude of gratitude residing in you? Or is there room for improvement? As gratitude for all that God has given you. I'm going to put you in a position that when Jonathan comes, God can take and revive you and revive me and revive our church and revive our community. You know, a great awakening has to begin somewhere. A revival has to begin somewhere, right? Why not us? Why not now? We all agree we need revival. You've all shook your head up and down, which means you agree. You didn't go this way, which means you don't agree. Why not us? Why not now? Why not here? You imagine what could happen in our world if the third great awakening was to begin here for the glory of God, not our glory. But people would be writing about it, wouldn't it? Years from now. They still write about Jonathan Edwards when he began a great revival in a little town. And you know what he preached on? Sinners in the hands of an angry God. I don't know what Jonathan's going to preach about. But I sure hope we have an ear to hear. And that we've prepared our heart that we can receive it. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word unto us tonight. God, we need to be reminded at times. Because it's so easy to just fall into negativity. so easy to do what Satan would have us to do. The Lord, one of his great, great tools to use against the church is the seeds of discouragement, the seeds of ingratitude. Oh, how he loves to sow them. Because he knows if he can sow them, that church is going to struggle, and it's just going to fight among itself, and it's not going to be very successful, because nobody likes to go where people are unthankful. Whether it's a church or a restaurant or anywhere. And Lord, Satan's doing a good job throughout our world today, because he's taken your people and he's made them highly critical of one another. Highly unforgiving. Highly unthankful. Lord, we need revival. We need to be prepared for it. And I pray, Father God, that you'll take these words tonight and we'll take them home. We'll think on them as they apply to us and be able to share them with our families. And then maybe our families and us will go out and share them with our neighbors and our friends and our enemies and our community. And our community might get saved. Our community might get revived. That we might revive a nation. God, we need you in America again. Lord, have your will, your way in us. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.